Well, praise the Lord, Vineyard Columbus. It's such a privilege to be able to be with you today to preach the Word of God. I do want to ask that you would open your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 7, verse number 18. While you're finding that, permit me to share that this service is designed to be about 1 hour. And I pray that you'd stay with us the entire time. At the end, we'll have prayer for several groups of people who are especially hard hit during these challenging times. Now, I don't know about you, but in challenging times like these, if we've ever needed the word from God before, we sure do need it now. Listen to what God's word says. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect somebody else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who has come, or should we expect someone else?'" At the very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." This is the word of God. I want to put a tag on this text today: questioning Christ from quarantine. Questioning Christ from quarantine. Without question, Vineyard Columbus, there's a new phrase that has entered our vernacular, and that phrase is shelter in place. It's really a code for stay at home. These orders have been given by various governors in states across our nation, including Ohio, and all of them look eerily similar. Stay indoors, except for certain essential activities. It's called shelter in place. And while shelter in place is new to society as we know it, it really shares meaning with an old school word from the 14th century, akin, if you will, to a word called quarantine. It's a word that originally belonged to the Italians, quarantine. It means 40 days. And it came on the scene during a pandemic when people were confined to ships for 40 days during the 14th century when something called the Black Plague swept through the place. And how ironic it is that some 6 centuries later, we too find ourselves in a kind of quarantine. We're in quarantine if we have the COVID-19 virus, suspect we may have it, or to protect ourselves from it, because many people don't know what to do with it. Medical specialists are baffled by it. Politicians don't know what to do about it. The talking heads do nothing but just talk about it. And all of us are living at the mercy of a living God. But if the truth be told, not only does it relegate us to the mercy of God, but it requires us to extend both grace and mercy to one another. Because if you're not careful, quarantine can cause some strange things to happen. Cabin fever can set in. And when you are cornered in your own cabin, you discover some things about others, and you also discover some things about yourself. There are some people who even started to write what they call quarantine diaries. One person put in their diary this. It said, "Dear quarantine diary, day one, I have stocked up on enough non-perishable food and supplies to last me for months, maybe years, so that I can remain in isolation for as long as it takes to see out this pandemic. Day one plus 45 minutes, I'm in the supermarket because I wanted a Twix." Another person wrote this in their quarantine diary: "Pray for me, because in quarantine, I've discovered I'm really living with a quarantine. Not only are they eating me out of house and home, but I've had to learn how to homeschool all over again. You ought to listen to the parent-teacher conferences I have with myself about my child." I'm just talking about quarantine. But not only that, even children got into it. One child wrote this, "Dear Quarantine Diary, I don't understand. My parents told me I could pass the time by being creative, but my homemade mummy costume was met with violent backlash. I'm just trying to keep this thing light. But listen, before we judge them for their strange and seemingly unspiritual behavior, we ought to bear in mind that we, who consider ourselves spiritual, can also do some curious things when we find ourselves in quarantine. Consider for a moment this passage of scripture where we find the forerunner of Jesus. His name is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist sends two of his disciples to Jesus to ask an interesting interrogative. Are you the coming one? In other words, are you the Messiah? Are you the one we've been waiting on? Are you the one Isaiah prophesied about? John the Baptist wants to know, is Jesus the coming one? Now, if you read Bible, you ought to know that this is really a curious question coming from John the Baptist. Because if anybody should have known who Jesus was, it was John the Baptist. In fact, in Luke chapter 1, in the story of the birth of Jesus, we learn that Jesus and John are cousins. You recall that when Mary finds out she's pregnant with Jesus, she goes to see Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John. And when a pregnant Mary, with Jesus in her womb, walks into the presence of a pregnant Elizabeth with John in her womb, that John gives some embryonic praise, begins to do backflips in his mother's womb, because even in the womb, John knew who Jesus was. Later on, that same John goes into the wilderness to preach and proclaim Jesus, which means that John, who knew him in the womb, is the John who preached about him in the wilderness. And if that wasn't enough, in Luke chapter 3, one day John is down by River Jordan baptizing folk. Jesus shows up and says, I need you to baptize me. John says, I'm not worthy to baptize the Lamb of God. But Jesus commands him to do it anyway. And John baptizes Jesus. And after he baptizes him, the heavens open. A dove shines down. And then God speaks. And God says, in the presence of John the Baptist, just in case y'all don't know who that boy is, I want everybody to know that this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Don't miss this. John knows Jesus in the womb. John preaches about Jesus in the wilderness. John hears God speak about John, about Jesus by the water. So the question you've got to ask yourself is, how could someone who knew Jesus in the womb, preached about him in the wilderness, and heard God speak about him by the water, can now reach a place where he's unsure who Jesus is? How could John have doubts about Jesus? Well, if you haven't figured it out by now, part of the answer has to do with the context of where John is when he sends this question. In fact, the reason why John doesn't go to Jesus himself and ask, are you the coming one, is because John is in jail. How did John the Baptist get there? I'm glad you asked. The record is that at the time that Herod is king, he has Mary, his own brother's wife, and everybody knows that's out of order. But nobody says anything but John the Baptist. John the Baptist calls Herod out for what he knows is an act of immorality. John puts it on Instagram, tweets it out. He launches his own virtual church, and it goes viral. And everybody knows what Herod has done is wrong. And Herod is embarrassed, has John arrested, only to have his stepdaughter demand that John be beheaded. And now John is in jail. He's confined to close quarters, under quarantine, if you will, with death standing at the door, checking his wristwatch. He's under a death sentence. And while he's there in quarantine, John says, I've got some questions about God. Because hear me, sometimes there are seasons in life where the quality of your life is so jacked up, it can make you question the goodness of God. It doesn't matter what your church title is. It doesn't matter how big your Bible is. It doesn't matter how many consecutive Sundays you go to church. Everybody listening to me can wind up in some circumstances that make you question whether God is really who God says he is. I know perhaps this doesn't apply to some of you because, you know, you and God are tight like that. I mean, you're the fourth person of the Trinity, and you breathe the book of Psalms, and you inhale Romans, but there's some of us who can admit today, I'm in a tight situation. And I find myself asking God, why? We ought to be real today. Why do I have to cancel my wedding or postpone it for a future date? Here's a better question. When are these kids gonna go back to school? They're not alone. Some student is asking, why can't I have my prom? Or is my graduation ceremony still going to happen? Why is my sporting season coming to an end after I put in all of this work? There's some family that's asking today, how are we going to pay the tuition, let alone pay my bills if I can't work? Or how can I give my loved one a proper burial? What do you mean I can't give a hug? Anybody there today where you're questioning the goodness of God and the power of God and the timing of God? I'm here to tell you, you're not alone. Because sometimes when we're in quarantine, it causes us to question the very God that we worship. And the amazing thing about John's questions is that Jesus never answers. John sends a simple question. I just want to know, are you who I think you are? And Jesus doesn't give a simple answer. I mean, wouldn't it have been easier for Jesus just to say, yes, I am? But Jesus doesn't answer because he needs to send a message to John that when you are in quarantine, when you find yourself in locked up situations, when you are wondering about the goodness of God, you don't need an easy answer. No, you need something deeper to hold your life together. You see, I don't know about you, but when I'm experiencing seasons of struggle or find myself confronting a calamity, I don't need church cliches. I don't need easy answers. Those don't get me through my existential experience. I know that he may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. I know he may not put more on me than I can bear, which, by the way, ain't even in the Bible. I know that when the praises go up, the blessings come down, but that's not helping me right now. Have you ever needed more than an easy answer? Have you ever needed more than some cliche that's been rehearsed and souped over and microwaved 100 times? Have you ever needed more than that just to make it? Jesus says, when you are in quarantine, you need more than easy church answers. In fact, the text teaches us 3 things we ought to need or we're going to need to make it through quarantine. Number one, he says, you need to have faith that is firm in days of disappointment. Make no mistake about it. We are living in a time where the very foundation of our faith is being tested, where things are not operating as we thought they would be. That's just what's going on with John. John said, I never envisioned I'd be experiencing this. I never thought I'd be where I am right now. It's fair to say that John is disappointed. And he's wrestling with disappointment day after day after day. Just slide yourselves for a moment into the sandals of John. He's the cousin of Jesus, was just trying to do right and wound up in jail, caught up in a quarantine. John is wondering, how can I be your cousin? I mean, we blood. Better yet, how can I preach your word? Be on the front line for you, and I'm now spending my days in jail. This was not supposed to happen to me, and I'm bringing this up because I need to share with somebody that if you walk long enough with God, you will have some moments where you go to God and you say the same thing, that this is not supposed to happen to me. In fact, some of you might be saying that right now. I go to church. This wasn't supposed to happen. that I serve in ministry. This wasn't supposed to be my lot in life. And I'm not always the best, but I try my best to do right. And when you do right, it's hard to understand how you get wronged. But here's what I come to understand. I need to warn you, it's a bitter pill to swallow. That when you walk faithfully with God, there will be some moments when God disappoints you. There'll be some moments when what you expect from God is not what you experience from God. That God doesn't always answer our prayers. That you always, in the ways that you always want them answered. God doesn't always move in the ways you want him to move. I don't care how often you come to church or how much you invest in the kingdom. We cannot force the hand of God to act in ways that are comfortable and convenient for us. In God's sovereignty, sometimes we will experience seasons of disappointment. Hear me, this is not cotton candy theology or for those with a fairy tale faith. I'm going to tell you the truth. God doesn't always say yes. God doesn't always move the mountain. God doesn't always take the thorn out. Sometimes you will have to endure days of disappointment. And you've got to have enough faith to hold on to God when God doesn't do what you thought he should do. Hear me today. Real faith is not trusting God will do something. Real faith is believing in God when he doesn't. Real faith is not just me expecting to do great things. Real faith is when I trust in God when God doesn't do great things. When I hold to God in spite of whatever happens to me. When I believe in God when the bottom of my life drops out. When I worship God when I don't have a dime in my pocket. When I pray to God if I don't know where the next paycheck is going to come from. When I serve God when there's sickness in my body. When I hold to his hand in spite of all the hell that I go through. That's when you know that the foundation of your faith is real. When I can trust him, even when he disappoints me. Perhaps that's why Jesus says, blessed is the one who's not offended because of me. Because sometimes I've moved in ways that will make you wonder. Sometimes you'll go through situations that will leave you shaking your head. Sometimes I'll cause some change that will make you question me. But in those moments, don't be offended. Don't walk away. Don't give up on me. I've got a plan. I'm up to something. I just need you to trust me. That's what God is saying to somebody today. Trust me, even in the midst of the winds of change. Reminds me of a story I once heard down in Morehouse there in the Clay Hills of Georgia. The story here is of a country preacher who went to visit a member of his church, goes out to the country, visits his member, but gets to his member's house on the farm, on the stable, there is a weather vane, you know, that's designed to move with the wind. The weather vane has written on it, God is good. And so he and his member are standing there, and they see that God is good. But then the wind shifts, and the weather vane moves. And so from where they are standing, they can no longer see that God is good. So the pastor said to his member, you know what, that's a theological inaccuracy for you to put God is good on the weather vane. Because you're suggesting that only when the wind blows the right way that I can see that God is good. The old farmer said, no, brother pastor, that's not what it means. He said, I put God is good on the weather vane so that I can be reminded that no matter which way the wind blows, that God is still good. The wind doesn't have to be at my back for me to know that God is good. In fact, no matter which way the wind blows, God is still good. I wonder if I have some folk listening to me today who can testify that no matter what happens in my life, that God is good. That's how you know you've got some firm faith. You need some faith that is firm in the days that God disappoints you. Let me tell you what else you need. Not only does John need some firm faith, but number two, when you're in quarantine, you need to have some faithful friends who help you to deal with your doubt. You know what makes being in quarantine worse? When you don't have the right people around you. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, just notice the qualities of the people John calls while he's in quarantine. John calls these two disciples. They come to John, take his question to Jesus, and they bring Jesus' answer back to John. Remember, John is in a vulnerable state, suggesting that John is sharing his most intimate feelings with those he believes he can trust. Because when you are relegated to quarantine, you need folk who you can be real with. I mean, here is John the Baptist, the prophet, the preacher, the religious potentate, the pope, whatever title you want. And get this, he's wrestling with his relationship with the Lord, suggesting that you can be close to God and still have challenges with God. That you can be devoted to God and still have days where you have doubts about God. So where do you go when you're wrestling with God and have doubts about God? On top of that, when you're in quarantine. But John has a small group of friends that he's comfortable enough to take his title off and show that I'm just another brother who has struggles with God just like you do. Because hear me, everybody needs somebody you can be real with and share what's really happening in your life. I'm not talking about religious environments where you have to pretend to be something that you're not. I'm talking about an environment where you can have real talk. A place where you can be real about your struggles, specifically in the days where you're dealing with doubt. Where questions emerge from the corner of your mind like, am I really gonna make it? How will I make ends meet when my job is downsized or eliminated? Is God really gonna bring us out of this? Are me and my children gonna be safe? Will I really come back if I get sick? Or will God really heal me from this sickness? My friends, these are the real questions. And when you are in quarantine, you need a healthy place where you can process this. A place that fortifies your faith rather than feeds your fears. In other words, you need some faithful friends. And at Vineyard Columbus, the best place to connect with some faithful friends is in our small groups. In fact, our small group team has been working to virtually get everybody connected to a small group. And if you're not connected, you ought to get connected. And there are two ways you can get connected right now. You can fill out that connect card by clicking the connect button in the top right-hand corner of your screen. And our host will drop that link in the chat right now. If you fill that out, someone from our small groups team will follow up with you. The second way to join is from Midpoint, which is a space that helps our large church feel like family. Again, our host online will drop that link in the chat right now for you to find out more. But hear me as a pastor. Like John, all of us are gonna need some faithful friends. Friends who feed our faith and help us deal with our doubts. And let me say this before I move to the final emphasis of the text. When these friends find out that John is struggling with Jesus, notice what they do. They go right to Jesus. When he shares with them his real self, the only thing they do with it is go right to Jesus. When he takes the masks off and shows what's underneath the robe, there's some folk, they find out that he's just human. They don't tell anybody else but Jesus. And that's what you need in life. Some folk who know how to get right to the throne of God and call out to God on your behalf. So let me get real personal. Do you have anyone in your life who at any time can pray for you? And I'm asking because I believe everybody needs somebody like that. It doesn't matter who you are, what your title is, or what you have fallen into. Do you have somebody that's ride or die, that no matter what time of the day can pray for you? You need somebody like that. And just in case you don't have somebody like that, then watch this. Our church will stand in the gap and pray for you. So if you're listening to me and you need prayer, right now, let one of our pastors know. On Church Online, just hit the prayer request button. If you're on Facebook, you can ask for prayer in the comments and somebody will private message you even right now, I guarantee it. And our commitment is to pray for you and talk to God on your behalf. Because you're gonna need some faithful friends to make it through quarantine. Let me give you the last one. You need a firm faith in disappointing days and friends who are faithful to help you deal with your doubts. But finally, to make it through quarantine, you need to find fulfillment in the evidence of the kingdom when you're experiencing divine delays. The text says that John sends a message to Jesus. Are you the coming one, or should we expect another? Which begs the question, who is John expecting to come? Well, you must understand that John is considered by many to be the last of the Old Testament prophets. Meaning this, he's pointing back to some Old Testament prophecies, maybe even to Isaiah, who prophesies about Messiah, where Messiah is the one who brings about deliverance, the one who establishes order and who ushers in the very coming of the kingdom of God. In fact, Isaiah goes on to say that these are some signs of the kingdom, that the eyes of the blind are open and the ears of the deaf are unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue will shout for joy. That when you see Messiah do that, that's how you identify who he is. Now, I think I ought to tell you that that's what makes Jesus' response so interesting. Because when he hears the question, probing if he's Messiah, he never provides a full explanation. I mean, Jesus didn't even try to explain who he is. But get this, even though he does not provide a full explanation, he does present some evidence. In fact, the Bible says at that very time, Jesus cures disease, heals sickness, and opens the eyes of the blind. I don't know about you, but that sounds like evidence of the kingdom to me. Not only that, but when Jesus does finally speak, he says, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. You tell John what you've seen. In other words, you help John to see what quarantine keeps him from seeing. That is the very signs of the kingdom of God. And I'm bringing this up because that was then, but this is now. And even now, I'm preaching to somebody who's been in a melancholy mood because you can't see how God is moving. In fact, you've been wondering, is God really moving in your situation at all? Because quarantine has a habit of trying to limit what we can see. But I stop by as a disciple of the Most High to say that I've seen some signs of the kingdom of God. You see, this past week, some of our staff handed out groceries and supplies and products to hundreds of people. And when I saw those cars wrapped around our parking lot and people crying, I said to myself that this is a demonstration of the kingdom of God. And I think we ought to tell you again, the reason why we were able to do that, Vineyard, was because of your generosity, was because of your sacrificial giving, because of your support in our partnership with Convoy of Hope back in January. Back then, we didn't know about Corona. We just wanted to feed hungry children. We didn't know about a pandemic. We just wanted to spread the love of Jesus Christ. We didn't know we'd need a truckload of supplies, but God turned that thing around and made this church a signpost for the kingdom of God, and you ought to give God praise for that. I'm serious. You may not be able to give me a high five, but just wave your hand. You may not be able to clap in the auditorium, but just click your mouse. But whatever you do, give God glory for the things he has done. Bless his name. And while we thank God for empowering this church to engage in acts of mercy, if we're honest, Jesus doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop East Campus at mercy, but he pushes further and he starts talking about the miraculous. When he says the blind receive their sight, that's miraculous. That the lame start walking, that's miraculous. That sickness and disease are healed, that's miraculous. That the kingdom of God just doesn't involve mercy, but the kingdom of God includes the miraculous. That's why we, as a church, just don't preach the good news, but we believe in the demonstration of the good news. That we just don't engage in acts of mercy, but we also believe in the miraculous. that we believe in the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. We don't get it right all the time. We don't always experience it. We know there's a not yet when the fullness of the kingdom will come, but because Messiah has come, something different has happened. That's why we believe in the increasing of the kingdom and believe God for signs and wonders and healing. Here at Vineyard Columbus, we reach for that, for the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. I want to encourage somebody to do that today, to pray for the inbreaking of the kingdom. For some of us, that might mean praying for healing. For some of us, it might mean for a loved one to get to know Jesus. Or you pray, God, you provide for my family, that I need you to reconcile this relationship. That's how you pray for the inbreaking of the kingdom. But not only pray, I challenge you to believe. That's the message Jesus sent to John. And that's the message he's sending to somebody today. Pray and believe. Lord, you said in your word that if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then you will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. Lord, I pray for you to be a healer. I pray for you to be a deliverer. I pray for you to be a provider. Provide us with a faith that's firm. Provide us with faithful friends to help us deal with our doubts. And Lord, provide us even on today with the reality, Lord, that the evidence of your kingdom is where we can find fulfillment. It's your servant's prayer. Amen. While our worship team gets ready to play, we have pastors and leaders standing by to pray for you by online chat. So on Church Online, we're simply going to ask you to hit the prayer request button. On Facebook, you can ask for prayer, and you can put that in the comment section, and one of our online pastors will inbox you with a private message to you. Let's worship God together. God bless you.